I don't believe this. Came in off the tree, and just look at this. Well, that is unbelievable. I haven't seen that in such a long time.
Everybody, to another episode of Bogey or Better podcast. I am Dylan, and Cam, we are finally back together for a recording.
I know, it's, I feel like it's been over like 4 episodes maybe.
Has it really been that many?
It feels like it. And we're back. We took a week off.
Yeah,
first time in a while.
I guess including that, yeah, it's been a while. I am having to record in my wife's office, and it's a little echoey, so I apologize, everybody, if it sounds a little off today.
They were trying to fit it in on a Saturday after that impressive third round of the Masters. I was watching it, and it felt like a Sunday. It felt like the final couple pairings on a Sunday.
Yeah, we had major drama. There was the weather delay, and then Hideki Matsuyama just putting like a madman today.
What was crazy was to see how much the scoring improved once it rained a little bit and greens got soft.
For sure. I mean, you could just tell looking on the TV yesterday how firm those greens were. I mean, complete night and day between this Masters and the Masters in November.
Absolutely. I mean,
it couldn't be different.
And this is what they really want it to be, though. They
Those greens to That's what the Masters all about, is the slick greens.
A lot of people are like, why do the greens look so bad? And it's not that it's because they're not 100% green, but that's what they want. They want it to almost be a baked in.
Yeah, just because they're not 100% green doesn't mean they're not rolling smoothly. They're rolling smoothly, and they are rolling fast.
Yeah.
I mean, they're,
they're just not hydrated.
Right.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
So the grass is nice and almost baked into that flatness. So it's just tough to get it to spin. I mean, there were shots they were hitting where it should have landed and rolled back, and it just kept skipping and skipping and just rolling out off the green.
Yeah, like we know how much spin pros can put on the ball. And to see how just wedge shots are literally bouncing off the green.
Yeah.
It's scary.
But then this weather came in and made quite the difference, though, with scoring, at least.
For sure.
I mean, people were holding the green, giving them, because a lot of times when they would go for the green on par fives, it would roll off.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had that hole with Xander and Hideki where they both made an eagle on the same hole.
Yep.
Xander hit that long one, and then Hideki had the shorter putt. But, I mean, it was a lot of drama. At one point, I think it was 4 people tied for the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And your pick is looking good. Jordan's looking like he put himself in the right position.
Yeah,
he could do it.
Yeah, he is in a fine position for Sunday, depending on how Hideki plays tomorrow.
Yeah.
I can very well see, depending on the weather, I'm not sure if it's going to rain tomorrow as well.
It doesn't look like it, but it looks like it might rain a little bit tonight.
But if it dries out between now and, the final few tee times, I could see Hideki kind of backsliding a little bit and giving Jordan a space to be in contention. Because when it's dry, there's not many players who know Augusta as well as Jordan. I mean, Jordan's up there with Tiger and Phil with how he knows that course.
And how well he plays it. I mean, he has, even though he hasn't played it as many times, he still has the record for the lowest average score.
He just has the shot. See, he loves being creative, and that's what you need. That's why Tiger was so good at the Masters. The Tiger's very creative in his shots, and that's how Jordan is as well.
And Jordan's not necessarily a super long hitter. No. He plays in the more intermediate range, so he'll place his shots. And, yeah, I mean, it's I could see him shooting a 69 and winning.
Mm-hmm.
And normally a come-from-behind win, you need to shoot, like, a 65 or 64 even. But if it firms up, it's not happening. But if Hideki drops a couple shots and Jordan can get to 10 under, I could see that happening.
Yeah, definitely.
Justin Rose might be the only one with the caliber. I love Will Zalatoris.
Mm-hmm.
I forget who it was, compared him to a one iron with no grip. That's what he looked like. It was really tiny.
Yeah,
but man, he can swing the golf club.
Yeah, size like 28 waist.
Yeah.
And he is just, he is putting bullets out there for sure.
You know what was funny? When we had the weather delay, I was watching what they were playing over, and it was when Tiger won in 2019. Mm-hmm. And they were showing the amateur, and I'm like, why is Victor Hovland wearing a Oklahoma State shirt? And I was like, oh my goodness, he was an amateur 2 years ago.
He's 23, 24.
I mean, he's fantastic. I think 15. He ended at minus three.
Yeah.
Like, and that was, most amateurs don't even break five over.
Well, you got to think, like, even like John Rahm, Bryson, they were all amateurs not that long ago. They're young guys, and they're all in the top 10, top 15 in the world. You know, Bryson's number one right now.
Yeah. I was listening to, I think it was the Dan Le Batard show, and they were talking about the difference in, 20 years ago, golf was all old people. Like, the best were all, like, 40-year-olds.
Oh, absolutely.
They were the best. Because it just, the young people didn't flock to the sport. But now, you know, the past 10, 15 years, you're having young, super athletic golfers join in the sport where as soon as they become professionals, they're winning majors. I mean, Colin Morikawa, for example, same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's super young. Matthew Wolf, he's 23?
Yeah, 23, Matthew. Actually, Matthew Wolf is 21, I believe.
Is he only 21?
Yeah, he was born in 2000.
They must have not taught him how to count.
You know, that really bummed me out when I saw that. I have such mixed feelings about that rule.
Explain what happened, if anybody doesn't necessarily know.
Yeah, so if some of you don't realize what happened, Matthew Wolf got completely disqualified from the entire tournament. For turning in an inaccurate scorecard. On one hole, he had a lower score on, I think it was 17?
Yeah. He recorded a 4 instead of a 5.
Yeah.
He would have missed the cut anyways, so it's not like it really mattered, but...
I'm trying to think about, like, you know, let's say he was in contention...
Right.
For this tournament, and he accidentally wrote the wrong score. Because, I mean, even Patrick Reed is not going to cheat that bad to where he tries to write down the wrong score. Everything's being recorded. Everyone's taking score anyway. It was a mistake. It was an honest mistake. And if he was in contention and he just made that kind of a mistake, a silly mistake, and he gets disqualified, I mean... I just don't understand why for that you disqualify somebody. You know, think of all the things that Patrick Reed has been literally caught doing during a round purposely. I mean, he was purposely doing it.
Right.
And he only gets, you know, a few strokes for penalty and doesn't get disqualified. I don't know. I feel like a literal mistake on writing the wrong score down. That's a little harsh, getting completely disqualified from the tournament. Is that with all tournaments, or is that just a Masters thing?
No, that's a PGA rule.
Okay.
I remember Cameron Tringale had a recent thing with that. And I get what you're saying, because it doesn't really make any sense. It's different, like, if you cheat on the course. Like, yeah. For example, Abraham Ancer had that ridiculous sand rule, but, you know, it is what it is. And he was assessed a two-stroke penalty after he signed his scorecard, because it was, you know, found out later. So he technically had an inaccurate scorecard, but he wasn't disqualified because it was a penalty after the fact. So if you turn in, like, something that obviously is a mistake, it's not like he was trying to cheat, because there's people out there recording your scores.
Yeah.
So what's the point of them turning in a scorecard? And that's the thing. If it is, then just assess them another stroke penalty.
Yeah.
For a mental mistake. Because that's what happened with Abraham Ancer. That's what happens when you ground the club and the ball moves. It's just a mental mistake. So I don't get the whole disqualifying thing when we're so far technologically advanced where we automatically know what their actual score is.
Yeah, there are a lot of rules on the PGA Tour that I find strange, and we need to just do a whole episode on that.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, because there's a lot of things that I just don't agree with and have mixed feelings about. But we have a lot of people who have missed the cut, very notable miscuts.
Yeah.
Rory, which honestly I wasn't too surprised.
He's
in between trying to figure out his swing. It couldn't be worse timing right now for the Masters for him. But then we have DJ.
He was close too, though. He almost made the cut.
Yeah, he was close. We have Brooks Koepka, which, I mean, he was.
I was thoroughly impressed at him playing.
I don't really know why he played. I felt like he was setting himself up for failure, just coming back from knee surgery like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just didn't.
It shows you the magnitude of the Masters.
Yeah, I guess so.
He wouldn't do that for any other.
Yeah. We have Lee Westwood, Patrick Cantlay.
Daniel Berger miss the cut?
Yes, I believe.
I thought I remember reading he missed the cut. I haven't seen him.
Yeah, he missed the cut as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean.
I mean, a lot of top 10 golfers or top 20 golfers not making it. I mean, you still had JT, Spieth, Justin Rose, really good. And then you got a lot of young guys. A lot of people maybe not, you don't hear from. Corey Connors, Will Zalatoris. Hideki is a fantastic golfer, but he's just not famous. Yeah. I think he's really famous in Japan.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
He's not.
I'm really pulling for Tony Finau, man. I wish he could do something. I would love to see him. He's been in contention for the Masters a few times now.
Yeah,
He was in contention for the 2019 when Tiger won.
He's got I feel like he's got Phil vibes coming, where he's so good, but he's destined to be like third and fourth in all of them.
It's insane to think he's only won one tournament.
And he's a really big hitter. He turned into he can drive with Bryson.
Yeah, he was number one for distance in 2018, I think.
Yeah, I think he was setting the tone, and then Bryson came at him for it. And, you know, that's been really a topic of conversation. We have a man in the field, I like to say, that likes to send me golf-related content.
Yeah.
Ben will send me a lot of stuff, and he sent me this Wired article. I sent it to you. The title, if you want to look it up, is called "Golf is Facing an Existential Crisis." Seemed a bit heavy, but
yeah, it seemed dramatic.
It was published by Mike Jakeman, April 8th, 2021. A couple days ago? Thursday. So it's talking about the distance problem. And they talk about clearly the distance now to 70 years ago is totally different. Here's where I have an issue with, like, oh, it's a huge problem and it's affecting golf and it's not fair. That's the part where I have a problem with, yeah, that it's not fair. Let's do a basketball analogy. All right. If I wanted to play basketball against LeBron James is bigger, faster, stronger than me, and he's going to use that to his advantage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is that fair? And is that technically fair? Well, it's basketball. He has that more athletic ability, so he's better than me. That's part of where I don't get why people think that the distance game is an issue, because they all have access to the same clubs. Now, if they want to nerf the clubs, that's fine. But if Bryson wants to jack himself up so that he can swing and hit it further, that's the athletic part of a sport, right? Am I missing something?
Yeah, like, but that's the thing is, I don't think they're trying to stop players from getting more athletic. Their thing is they're trying to nerf the clubs, and I just don't agree with that for many reasons. I was researching about it, and I found that article just kind of ridiculous. But because in 2003, so we're talking 18 years ago, Hank Cukney, I guess, that's how you pronounce him, Hank Cukney, was a PGA Tour player. Guess what? He was number one for driving distance. Guess what his yardage was?
In 2003? 270?
321.4 yards.
No way.
Yep. He went back to back 2005, 2003 and 2004. 2003, 321, and then 2004, 315. In 2006, Bubba Watson was 319.
Huh.
And, I mean, we know the clubs that they were using back then. I mean, yeah, they were metals, but there was so less technology. And the club heads were smaller, probably 430 cc's probably.
Right, right.
I just, because when you start to nerf the clubs, not only are you affecting the players on the PGA Tour, but more importantly, you're affecting us, the normal average golfers. And the problem I have with that is in the early 2000s, the 90s, the 80s, golf was not a popular sport recreationally. Because it was harder, because the clubs were smaller, because it was just harder to hit.
Right.
And now you have such amazing technology in all the clubs. It is making golf easier to start, at least, for the average person.
Right.
And I just think that's so important. If the PGA Tour is so concerned about, you know, people playing golf and people being interested in golf, why are you going to try to make it harder on the normal people?
Right.
And so I don't agree with that. And another thing is from 1998 to 2002, John Daly led the tour in driving distance.
Yeah.
You know how many tournaments John Daly won from 1998 to 2002? One.
No way.
One tournament. You know how many Tiger Woods won from there? More than I can count on two hands.
Yeah.
You know how many times Tiger Woods has been number one for driving distance? Zero. He has never been number one for driving distance, ever, in the history of his career.
That's probably because he likes to hit three woods off tees a lot.
Probably.
But that proves your point.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to hit it far to be good at this game.
Yeah.
Certain holes and certain courses, it can help if you're accurate. We look at Bryson at the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
Yeah.
It helped him, But he didn't score eagle on that par five one time. The two times he made it over the water, he didn't get an eagle. He made birdie. You know, we look at him now at Augusta National. He's struggling.
Yep.
Even though 2 years ago he called Augusta National a par 67, which I think he really regrets saying.
He really is. Because everyone's going to get him on that until he wins.
Yeah. And he's been struggling all week. Because a course like Augusta National, you can be long, but if you do not have pinpoint accuracy and control, you're not going to succeed.
And I think this tournament came at the perfect time because this article came out on Thursday, and this tournament is proving all these big hitters are not in contention.
Yeah.
They're not. Why? Mm. Because now, for example, Bryson, because everyone likes to use Bryson as an example, he also is very accurate with his drives. He is, but that's what makes it interesting. I mean, how many people were at that hole at the Arnold Palmer to watch him do that? Mm-hmm. To watch him try and do it? And with the popularity of the long drive competition, the advancement in tools to help you gain distance is making the sport more popular.
Absolutely. And that's the part I love. You know, I think Bryson is good for the sport in that way. He's making it exciting.
Yep.
And that's why it just confuses me so much is the PGA Tour says, you know, they want more people interested in the game and they're worried about people not being interested. And then Bryson comes along and he's getting people excited. He's, you know, celebrating after a long drive and he's, mm-hmm. you know, creating these highlights and making people interested in the game, but now they want to nerf his equipment.
Right.
I just don't get it. And, oh, here's another one. Here's another little statistic.
Mm-hmm.
I should have written this down, but in the 90s,
uh-huh.
the average 4-round score was 2. Hold on. You talk for a second because I want to get this right.
No, what I wanted to bring out too is that, you know, everybody has the opportunity to increase their speed like Bryson. You know, it's not something where, oh, he only plays Cobra, right? And for some reason, Cobra's drivers go 30 yards further than everyone else. Well, that's not fair because, you know, he's using something that gives him that distance. He gained all that muscle and he worked on all that speed so that he could have the ability to do certain things on the course that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
Why, you know, So, for example, they said Wingfoot. They were like, oh, Wingfoot's going to take care of that. And he was in the rough a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But what helped him win that was his strength of getting that ball out of the rough.
Yeah.
His long drive was great. But the fact that out of that 2-inch long rough, he could muscle an iron through it to get that ball in. And let's not forget, he's one of the best putters on the tour.
Mm-hmm.
So his success doesn't just, it helps him. I mean, they broke it down. Basically, long drivers have a 1-stroke advantage at the end of the day. That's what it was about 1.4. And then when missed fairway drops it like 0.3 strokes around, or I think it was a tournament, but it could be around. So, you know, once you put them together, they basically, Dustin, Bryson, Tony, they have a 1-stroke advantage.
Yeah.
That's it.
And that's the thing is, how many players truly on the tour are considered very long drivers? Maybe 5 to 10?
Maybe.
I feel like that is just such a crazy thing to basically pick on a certain amount of players for being long drivers. Like, okay, let's say we're getting to 50 to 100 players on tour now somehow are magically being able to drive the ball 320.
Right.
Like, it's just now that's the normal thing. Okay, maybe we need to look at something here to make it a little more difficult for them. But a handful of players, I just don't think that's fair to look at them and try to bring them back down to the average player on the tour. And so if we're looking at this from as a whole group, as all the players on the PGA Tour, we look at the average scoring in the 1960s for a 4-4-4 round. So 1960s for four rounds was 275. 2020, so 60 years later,
right,
is 269. I'm sorry, 269.8 to 270. So we're looking at a 5-stroke difference in 60 years. Come on.
And they're hitting it much further. So
much further.
So that's what, you know, is it really the biggest? I think it's just because it's becoming so like everyone's trying it now. So for some reason, people think it's a big deal because Bryson is effectively, you know, changing the dynamics of the course. But that's sport, right?
Yeah.
He found himself an advantage. Now, take basketball, for example. For some reason, it took them 40, 50 years to realize that the three-point shot is worth more than any other shot. And now, it has become overvalued. And they're talking about trying to find ways to nerf that because it's worth that much more. In golf, it's different. If Bryson drives it 50 yards further than me, that's how he's able. I mean, if they nerf the clubs, right? Because that's the part I don't understand. If you nerf the clubs so that he doesn't hit it that much further, my driving distance is going to go down.
Yeah.
So you're talking about the people that hit 250, you're going to try and nerf their distance so that it goes 225? Bryson still has the same advantage. So are they worried necessarily about the advantage that he has or long hitters have over other players? Or are they worried about the optics of the game, that it's not the way they used to seeing it played? Because the advantage will always be there. He is stronger than any other player on tour. So let's say this. What about nerfing the golf balls? Making them more spin than, like, they can't have that certain core that on long drives makes them, you know what I mean? Like, could you do that and make it way more spinny? That would affect accuracy.
I don't agree with nerfing the equipment because you're then affecting the average Joe golfer. And you can't separate it from, you can't enforce manufacturers to make different golf balls for recreation and different golf balls for the tour. That's just not going to work,
right?
Money wise, I guess my big thing is in 1996 when Tiger Woods joined the tour. He was more athletic and stronger than every single golfer on the tour at that point.
Yeah.
He had the exact same equipment as them, and he was bombing it for just way past them. You know, in the documentary, it was talking about, even though I don't want to talk about the documentary, but there was a story about how Tiger just flew a 3-wood past Phil Mickelson's driver. And Phil Mickelson is not a short player by any means.
Especially now.
Especially now. Why was that not an issue then?
It was celebrated then.
Exactly. So why
now? He was changing the game.
So I don't understand the difference. We all have the same equipment. It all is based on the physicality of each player.
Right.
And you can't enforce players to change their bodies. That's not how free will works.
Right.
So what do you want to do? Because either you're going to make the game less enjoyable for the people like us, and then you're going to start losing viewership. So what's more important is the original ways of the PGA Tour, or making the game more accessible and more enjoyable for everyone.
I get exactly what you're saying, because the vice president of Ping talked about there's just not as much regulation when talking about equipment. But golf is at its peak of boom at this moment. In the summer of 2020, the rounds were up 20%. And there's no way that that's from people that already played golf. Where is that jump from? It's from people that are either getting back into it or are starting for the first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your point exactly, he said, we don't want to make it harder for people that want to get into the game.
Yeah.
So making the club shorter and less accurate, that really doesn't make – that's not sporting. That's not how that works. That's not innovation, right? So the point, I think, is what I wanted to focus on this article. Do you think that it's a problem?
No. I think the PGA Tour is a problem, because they're like stuck in this limbo of they want to make more money. They want to make more people watch golf and enjoy golf and increase the golfing business model. Yet they're trying to make it more difficult for the tour players. Even though we can look at the averages, the scoring has not decreased by anything really in 60 years. Five strokes is nothing.
Right.
So you look in 2000, Augusta National was 6,800 yards. Augusta National now is like 7,400 yards.
Yeah.
The average course length in the 60s was like 6,400. We've increased 1,000 yards in 60 years for the average golf course on the PGA Tour. And I think that's exactly why it's only been a 5-stroke difference in 60 years. So why can't they? I think they should be satisfied with that and calm down about it for right now. And yes, if it does continue to where, hundreds and hundreds of tour players are now just crushing the ball 320, 330, okay, maybe now there is an issue.
Right.
Maybe now we do need to either get some stricter rules on technology for the clubs. And maybe, see, that still just bothers me, but I don't see that happening. I don't see that the majority of the players being able to drive the ball like Bryson or Tony Finau.
Yeah. It takes an intense amount of skill to be able to swing as hard. I mean, how difficult it is for us to swing hard and hit the ball in the center of the face.
Yeah, it still takes so much skill. Without side
spin. Now we're amateurs, so we're representing most of the golf world, right? But when we say there's no reason to nerf our clubs, give us more distance and more forgiving clubs.
Yeah. Cam, I swing the club only 105 miles an hour and I can barely hit the center of the club face still.
Yeah. I'm with you. So I think we're seeing golf becoming an actual sport.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because now athleticism, I mean, it always has been, but I think it's getting recognition that athleticism is giving you an advantage, right? But when it gets down to it, that one drive is worth the same amount as one putt.
Oh, absolutely.
And it is showing at the Masters.
Yeah.
So how do you fix the long game? You make those greens extremely difficult. That's how you do it. You make the greens extremely difficult, and you make the rough extremely difficult. If they want to go for it, and that's what they focus on, because you got to think, if they're focusing on increasing distance, you know, all that, what are they focusing on less? There's a give and take. Normally it's putting or approach game. And the greens this year at Augusta have shown when you make the course difficult, when you get 50 yards and in, who are the ones that are leading? The ones that are some of the best at out of the bunkers.
Yeah.
The ones that are at best 30 yards and in. The best lag putters. But like that's Tiger, how you can fix that.
Because Tiger Woods was not the best player that's ever been because he hit the ball long.
Right.
He is the best player that's ever been because he was the best putter and had the best short game of anyone that's played.
Yep.
Plain and simple. One of the best iron players.
Yeah.
You have to hit greens. You just have to. And you have to make the putts.
Yep.
Hideki Matsuyama, average drive is 295 yards. He hit 12 putts in 9 holes. And that is why he is leading this tournament.
Yep. And for example, Bryson is plus 4.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. I'm going to go 180, right? I don't think it's a problem. I think it's making golf a more popular sport. I think it's improving the sport. Now, I get what they're talking about. And could it get boring? Sure. They're probably nervous that it might turn into baseball, where it's just home runs and strikeouts, right? Because they're going for the long hits, and they'll take their strikeouts. But golf is different. It's, like it's not one or the other
right now.
Well, and it's not one or the other like baseball. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And it's not like basketball. Some people don't like basketball anymore because it's all, you know, foul shots and three pointers. But golf is so layered.
Yeah.
I mean, you could hit they have to not only be able to hit drives like that and have easy layup shots on most every hole. They have to then do that for 4 straight days. I mean, I think it's making it more popular. It's getting more people in the sport. It's increasing golf sales all over the place. I got a note from the place I do some golf related sales. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these places were 6 months back ordered.
Yeah.
I had somebody get some irons in December. Still doesn't have them.
Wow. Wow.
The new irons have come out since.
That sucks.
And part of that is a pandemic, right? Yeah. I mean, part of it is related to that. But the boom in golf sales means that a wave is coming.
Yeah.
In average golf, and most of them, the people that I meet are people that are looking for their first set of clubs. Yeah. 75% of the people I talk to.
That's awesome.
Either I haven't played in 15 years, ready to get back into it, or, you know, since this pandemic, it's been a source of exercise, and my friends took me out, and I wanted to get a club so I can play.
Well, here's actually a really funny story in that you just jogged my memory. I went to get all of my clubs regripped.
With jumbos.
Yeah, for jumbos. And there was a guy in front of me. He had these really old clubs. He was getting them all regripped, and I was talking to him. And he was like, yeah, I went and played my first round of golf in, I think he said, like 17 years.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, I don't know. I was watching the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and I was seeing Bryson, and yep. It just got me pumped for the game, and I wanted to start playing again. And I was like, what do you want, PGA Tour? Like, what do you want? This is what you need. This is what's going to make you money and keep making you money for years and years. How about this? Once Bryson is hitting every green or fairway with a 330, 340-yard drive, if he is just every single time center of the club face, middle of the fairway, or driving the green, talk to me now.
Yeah.
Come back to me. Because I promise you it's not going to happen.
Nope. That's, I mean, and there were times where he did reach the green, and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And then there are other times where he pulls it, and now he's stuck. In the, you know, stuck trying to punch out, like he takes the risks,
and that's what's exciting though, is seeing him try to now. Well, for me at least, it is exciting to see him crush a drive into the fairway. But what's more exciting for me is to see him try to hook or slice a ball out of the woods and still try to get it on the green.
Yeah,
and there's nothing about distance there. That is pure precision and feel and creativity.
Exactly,
and that's what golf's about.
Could it be, and I could be totally wrong, could it be that the PGA is not necessarily looking to be more popular? They like their exclusivity. And the increase in this is, it's becoming too available to anybody that wants to play golf?
Well, if that's the case, stop whining. Stop whining about, oh, we're so worried. People aren't watching golf. People aren't playing golf. Stop whining about it then.
Yeah. You can't have both. Yeah. Either you want to be exclusive and your sport will be popular, and the people that are professionals are going to be the, you know, absolute professionals. With the golf clubs now, you have people that probably 30 years ago wouldn't be professional golfers. They probably don't have the skill, but the clubs help them get there. Is that a bad thing? I don't think so.
Me neither.
I think the more people that you have playing makes the winners more absolute winners. The more people that you have at the level of professional make the number one golfer a bigger prize. It just does. Because if you only have 75 golfers, professional golfers that are actually pretty good, the rest aren't, is being great out of set 1 out of 75, or is 1 out of 350 more impressive? If it were me, I'd rather know that I beat 349 people than 74.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So take it, you know, let us know what you think about it. I'd love to hear somebody else's opinion. I'm glad he sent that to me because, you know, we've been hearing a lot about golf's distance and what it is. But, I mean, I feel like it's really just on a couple of people. I mean, amateurs don't hit like that. I rarely hit the driver over 300 yards. I have to really get it, you know. A lot of times, if I really crank a drive and it gets a, you know, regular bounce, 295, 300, like that's, I have an extra stiff shaft and a new driver. Like,
mm-hmm.
Now when I hit this perfect center of the face and everything goes right, yeah, I can probably reach 330.
Yeah.
But that just doesn't happen. So it's a very limited, if it is a problem, it's a limited problem. And it's making PGA more popular.
I know that this is not a great stat just because of inflation, but it's still pretty insane. In 1960, Arnold Palmer was the leading money winner for $75,000. In 2019, Brooks Koepka was the leading money winner with $10 million.
Yeah.
Now, even with inflation, that is still insane.
That, yeah, I mean, let's see. If I can pull up. Adjusted for inflation, but I don't know if I can pull it up exactly. Either way.
So that would be $666,000 now.
Was what Arnold Palmer's making in the 60s. And yep. What is... So $666,000, yep. Right? And
Brooks Koepka, 2019, $10
million. So yeah, just for inflation. So you're talking... Over what, 400%?
Yeah.
Increase? I mean, and who, and if we had to test, because I was talking with my wife a couple weeks ago about the power that this golfer has and why he's bigger than the sport. Who do you attest that 400% jump to?
Right now?
You could say right now, but maybe like
when I mean, golf Tiger, got popular. Tiger Woods, 100%.
We wouldn't have those purses without him.
No, absolutely not. Tiger Woods changed the sport, and now all Bryson is doing is continuing it.
Yep.
And just pushing it to even another level. Yep. Tiger started it, and Bryson is continuing it. Tiger talked about it in an interview and how much he appreciates what Bryson is doing for the game.
Yeah.
Because Tiger was the first one to start this. He changed the sport. Golf was a dying industry before Tiger was.
Yep.
And now it is a multi-billion dollar corporation.
Absolutely. And because we just saw, I mean, this Masters is not the same without Tiger. But in his absence, it is still the best tournament. Golf with the lead of Jordan Spieth now. Fine. And that's the thing. Golf is getting popular again because Jordan Spieth is playing better.
Yeah.
And he is not a long hitter by any means. What makes him as impressive is when he sets his feet on that green. Or when he's in the bunker. When he's chipping. That's when he's exciting.
And that's my other thing is... We do not watch and put money into this sport because of Jay Monahan, who is the PGA Tour commissioner.
Yeah.
We don't give a crap about who is the commissioner of the PGA Tour. We watch and we enjoy and we play this game because of the players, because of the Jordan Spieths, the Brysons, the Tigers, the Rorys, the DJs. So... What is just confusing me is why are you trying to piss these guys off?
Yeah.
They are the reason you're making... Jay Monahan made $3.9 million last year.
Right.
You owe all that money to those players. So why are you trying to stop them from playing the sport in such an entertaining way?
Right. It reminds me of it reminds me a lot of Happy Gilmore, the conflict there.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, this guy's, it's because it's different.
Yeah.
It's because Bryson's aiming sideways to hit over the trees, to cut over a dog leg. But like, that's awesome. Like, cause it's like, I would never think of that. You know, it's like. Most people, it's like, oh, the course has to be played this way. There's no rule. Now, could they change the rules where you couldn't take certain angles on a hole?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
like standing on a tee box. Like, you had to be, you know, because you can't control if your face is wide. Well, they can, but we can't. But, like, you can't be aimed sideways. You know what I mean? Like, could they do something like that to maybe affect how you try to attack it and make it so you have to, if you want to cut something, you're going to have to gamble with a lot of side spin.
I could see them doing what they did for the Players' Championship at Sawgrass, is there was a certain hole, and there's a certain area on the left side over the woods where Bryson was going to try to hit over to.
He was going to hit to another fairway, right? To
basically
go back around?
It wasn't another fairway. It was just a grassy area that was open. And they made that out of bounds.
Out of bounds.
So maybe not enforcing them to not be able to take certain lines, but making certain areas of the woods and just condensing the holes to where there's
tighter.
More out of bounds.
Yeah, you could, and that's something that only affects the professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Is a very, because I remember, but what was funny was I remember when they came out with that, and I remember how disappointed I was that they were like, mm-hmm. we're going to make this out of bounds now. And it was clearly, but it's like, okay, if you're worried about distance things and playing the course in odd ways, I'll take that. Make different spots out of bounds that maybe weren't previously, so that it removes sort of like going into different spots of the course that weren't intended. That's fine.
Yeah.
Don't nerf an equipment. If you're going to do anything, keep the equipment rules the same.
Yeah.
So maybe they only improve at a very minimal rate now.
But that's the thing. They already do improve at such a minimal rate.
Yeah, I know.
you're talking about single-digit yards here that they're adding on average. And even Bryson proved that. Bryson used a driver that was like 6 years old.
When he played at Arnold Palmer. Yeah. Yeah, that you're exactly right. So, okay, so nerf the equipment. Everyone has to use five-year-old stuff. What are you going to do?
The same. It's so minimal, and that's why I just don't understand why we're talking about this. Yeah, you can make the golf courses harder, but that's the only way I could see this working, is if you continue to make the golf courses harder. You can't nerf the equipment. You can't make them not be athletic. You can't do any of that, because it would be insane. It would drive your sales. It would just make the PGA Tour a laughingstock.
Yeah.
So the only thing you can do is make the golf courses harder, but still, I feel like that should be a last resort until you see hundreds of PGA Tour players playing like Bryson. And I just don't ever see that happening.
Yeah, the Masters might finish at maybe 15 under over four rounds. Talk to me when they're shooting like 30 under consistently over four rounds. You know, I mean, for real, like, we're talking a minuscule amount of difference. Bryson's not winning every tournament.
No.
Regardless of how, I mean, he won Arnold Palmer, but he also, not only did he drive, he didn't take that line every time though.
No.
Like you know what I mean? He still plays it respectively when the wind's not there. Like, he's not just out there just swinging as hard as he can every time. He just has the ability to hit it 360.
And each time the two times he took that drive, he did not get in on the green under regulation.
So it didn't give him an advantage. The advantage was he was closer to the green.
Yeah.
But stroke-wise, he still...
He made birdie on both times.
When every single par five, he gets an under regulation for all four rounds. Because I know they're talking about like old St. Andrews, like old courses like that, becoming almost obsolete because they're just not built for how golfers are now. And you know what I say to that? Sucks to be them. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I get it. They want the course to be like, but things evolve, things change, things improve. Technology gets better. That's just how it is.
But with courses like that, you can still make it. You can just put OB markers and make, you know, yeah, 18 at St. Andrews is the widest fairway in the world. But just put OB markers and make it narrow. Like, there's things you can do to make that course more difficult.
Yep.
So,
Let's see what happens at Kiawah with all that wind and all that sand.
Yeah.
And see what happens, because there's only certain courses that distance gives you a huge enough advantage. If anything, yeah, by statistical numbers, it gives you a 1-stroke advantage.
Yeah. And I think that's generous.
That seems generous, yeah.
So, in summation, PGA Tour, cool your jets. And I definitely don't think that golf is in a huge...
I don't think you can have a problem when your golf is at its all-time highest in monetary value brought in and popularity.
Yeah.
It seems like you found a solution to me.
Yeah.
Not a problem. So, but let us know what you think. I want to thank Ben for sending that out. He was very excited when I told him that that was actually interesting. And, cause it is, I thought I've heard this information, but I've never found it written as such a definitive, and it's a UK article. So maybe that's why,
which is interesting. Cause you know, UK is so popular in the UK.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seemed weird. So thanks for listening to what we thought about it. I feel like most people feel the same way that we do.
Yeah, I would hope so. I think so. But we will see y'all next week, and we've got some interesting things coming. Some 2v2
check us out next week. Thanks for being like patient that. With us. Enjoy. Well, when you hear this, it'll be the end of the Masters. Yeah. So we hope you enjoyed your Masters week, and we got the RBC Heritage coming up down in our neck of the woods.
Yeah, absolutely.
So enjoy, guys, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week. See ya.
See you guys.